Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where we will be celebrating Jaiswal Day. The youngster, such a cringe word, youngster, finishes the day looking at notching a double century as England toiled away a little bit, although a couple of late wickets brought them back into the match. I'm Jack Hope, and I'm joined by Max Rowe Brown. How are you doing, Max?
Hello. Yeah, good. Good. I think at least you can actually call Jaiswal a youngster, right? You know, he's not played many test matches, but he is actually young. I didn't actually catch it, but I can only assume at some point on commentary, someone referred to young Rajat Pattidar, or, you know, in the spectre that they do tend to when an Indian makes his debut, Indian makes his debut at the age of 30 or older.
I'm sure it's happened in the commentary over the last few days. Before we get into the show, we've got an announcement. We finished third in the Sports Podcast Awards Best Cricket Podcast Award category, being edged out by the No Balls Cricket Podcast, which is probably fair enough, to be honest. and not fair enough, Dan Norcross's crew. Zero ducks given. We did speculate that they would have an advantage because their listenership more likely to use a desktop than ours, and maybe that was the crucial factor.
I demand a recount.
I'm happy with third though, Max. So thanks to everyone who voted for us. I know lots of people did. Big thumbs up from us. We really appreciate that. Max, do you want to talk us through what happened in day one of this test?
Yes, I can do. So, I mean, I don't know if I've been a bit spoiled, Jack, by sort of the like riot a minute cricket we've had over maybe the last year or so. So rather than say, you know, it wasn't not that much happened, it was a bit slow, I'd actually liken it more to season one of Game of Thrones, right? So, you know, it's a slow burn. The day sort of edged along. But it was setting things up. It was setting up the scene. It was setting up the characters. It was setting up the longer narrative arcs of the whole test. So, you know, it wasn't action punchy, all that kind of stuff. But there was enough. There was intrigue. There were moments, you know. Shubman Gill throwing himself out of a window. Rohit Sharma being banished to the north. That was interesting. There were moments of light, of comedy. You know, Rajat Pattidar's dismissal was kind of funny. Quite enjoyed that. And there were some unanswered questions as well to keep us coming back. Things like, is that India's best team? What's Jimmy Anderson done to his hair? All things that we want to know the answer to. And the final similarity is that it was all about one man, one Titanic man. The narrative, stealing the narrative, obviously. Yashasvi Jaiswal's 179. He was the main character. He was the man we all loved. It was an incredible display. The only disappointment is that England weren't able to unceremoniously remove him from his position by the end of the day, unlike poor old Ned Stark.
Yeah, nobody had their head chopped off.
No. So
a crucial difference between, well, Game of Thrones and this cricket. You know what? I actually think Game of Thrones season one's one of the best series.
It's great. I really liked it, but yeah. It's not, you know, it's because of its slowness, right? So I'm saying maybe on the face of it, it didn't look like that much of a day of cricket, but actually, you think about it in the sort of the wider concept, you know, it was quite good. It was intriguing, interesting.
Yes, I think the first question, and there's lots to talk about here. We'll get on to Jaisal. We'll talk about Shoaib Bashir making his debut. We'll talk about England in general and that, their selection. First question, Max, I think, is who won? Like, that's the crucial question after day one of a test match, is who's winning? Who's won this match? I've gone pretty hard in the title and said India dominate England. But I'm hearing, you know, the word on the street is that perhaps this wasn't as dominant as my dominant statement was.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I mean, if you look at the way the day went, if you took a Kentwood Test cricket and said you're going to lose the toss and the other team are going to put up 336 for six by the end of the day, you're going to be like, yeah, that's a pretty long day. Maybe not great. You've got your work cut out to win the test. But it's sort of in the it's in the spectre of what could have happened. Like, it was it looked like a pretty good batting pitch. There wasn't much in it. There was a little bit of turn, but not really that much in it for the bowlers. And the fact that England managed to get six wickets and only Jaisal went on and scored that big ton means that England are going to come out of it feeling like pretty happy with their work. Things, you know, they managed to keep chipping away. And I'd, you know, they're probably still in the game, I guess, but India are still on top. Like, you look at, it's sort of a kind of a function of how the scorecard looks. It looks really like Jaiswal on 179 and then everyone else, no one got more than 34. If you move around a bit and, like, actually Jaiswal's got 90, Shreyas Iyer's got 110 and, like, someone else got 50. And then you'd look at it and be like, yeah, England got battered. But because one man's done really well and everyone else kind of failed, when they probably should have done better, I think it makes it look a bit more like England are more in the game than they are. But
I agree with this.
They should still be happy with how it's gone, because it could have been awful. Like, it could have been 500 for none. But they've done well to stay in the game, but they've got a lot of work to do.
Well, it could have been any score if you put it like that, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It could be 1,000 for none.
Don't be ridiculous.
It could always be worse. I think it is India's day, and I think it's a pretty strong India win, to be honest. I think what you're saying is why some people were thinking that this is a more even day's cricket than it actually were, in that basically one guy has done, what, 50, 55% of the lifting, and everyone else has batted quite badly. I mean, if you look through that India lineup. Maybe not batted badly. I think actually a few of the players played quite well, but got out badly, I think, is what you would say. I mean, Rohit Sharma flicking one to leg slip, that's pretty casual. Shubman Gill being done by Anderson won't be the first. Might be near the last, but I doubt he will be the last.
I think Shubman Gill averages 7 against Anderson now.
And then didn't the next three batters all get out? Well, three of the next four got out playing a cut shot, and Rajat Pattadar managed to defend the ball backwards.
Onto his own stumps.
Yeah, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah. I mean, Shreyas Iyer was a little bit unlucky because it did keep low, and it was a very good catch by Ben Stokes. But I think that one aside, you can probably apportion a reasonable amount of blame to the lot of them.
Yeah. So, but I think, like, that obscures the fact that actually, in between the quite dumb dismissals or the quite unfortunate dismissals, or just, you know, the dismissals, if you don't want to. If you want to be a more neutral character, I think India scored pretty quickly. They've racked up a decent number of runs here, 340 for six, or 340 runs in 90 overs is a good day's work. They have the potential with a guy on 179 not out to kick on tomorrow. Ashwin's got 100 against England and hundreds against other people. He might have 200 against England. The pitch looks relatively benign. So even though there's a bit of a tail to come, you'd think if, say, Ashwin is out for five more runs, you'd still back India to add at least 50 more to their score, which would take them to basically 400, which might be a like the might not be what they want, but that's probably the low end of India expectations right now is 50 more runs. If you know, if England were offered 386 all out, they'd love it. Or they'd bite your hand off for it. I think much more realistically is another 100 runs, and India are in a really good position. I like to follow the odds for this sort of thing, and England's chance of winning the match have halved on day one.
Yeah,
which I think is
how's the draw looking? Is that up or is it all gone to India?
I would have thought where the
equity comes from.
I would have thought. I'll bring that up in a second. I would have thought that's come into the game a little bit more. It certainly looks a little bit more benign than we were expecting. I would say actually. I mean, like on the last India series, we in India and for the Australia series as well. I think we were quite critical, rightly, of some of the surfaces. I think the two pitches so far look like they'll be pretty much spot on in terms of giving people the opportunity to bat. I mean, I would be surprised if this one's an impossible wicket to play on day three. But I would equally be surprised if it didn't start turning relatively significantly on day four and head towards the result. So, add that to the equation as well. And I think 336 with the possibility of adding more runs on day two looks pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing you have to think about from India's point of view, isn't it? Like, they won the toss and they batted first, and that looks like it's going to be a pretty big advantage. You know, they've not thrown that away. They put a decent score up. England could go past it. Like, if England keep them to below 400 and have a really good second innings, there's a chance England put more on the board. But I think England would need quite a sizable lead going into the second innings to feel pretty confident, because I do get a feeling that there might be a fairly sort of quick deterioration, sort of like end of day four, day five, just from like having seen a couple of those balls keep low, like the Shreyas Iyer one. There were a couple, I can't remember who, I think possibly from Rayan, where they sort of scuttled through a bit, and it wasn't an issue at the time. But when that happens on day one, it sort of makes you think by day five, even though in general it's played really well, there's going to be something there, and it's going to be really tricky to chase something down. So I think having, being able to bat first and third on this will probably be pretty helpful as well. So, doom and gloom probably on the back of what happened in the first test as well, isn't it? England did something miraculous, and now everyone thinks that that's just normal and that's what England are going to do. So a little bit of like managing expectations from everyone. Be like, hey, India, like, be pretty happy. It didn't go that badly. Jaiswal was immense. Like, just laud him and how good he was. Like, rather than worrying about whether England might magically score 550 and 50 overs on day three and whatever might happen.
Well, I think that's absolutely spot on. I think that's basically it. AJ in the chat said it's funny you titled the video "India Dominate England." Pretty much all Indian media is super disappointed. I mean, like, after the massive reversal of the second test, there's probably a little bit of it was going to be in people's minds that England can get 430. I think realistically, though, England are much more likely to get 300. Much more likely. You know, a score in excess of 400 for England batting second would shock me, even having seen it happen 5 days ago. I would be quite surprised if they were able to string two performances like this together. And I think even now, they might have enough runs on the board that India, I would say they're more likely than not to have a first innings lead if all four wickets fall for zero tomorrow morning. So that's why I think it's India's day. But that's how it is. Should we talk about Jaiswal? He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Again. Yeah, I think we should, really, shouldn't we? Because I mean, that was an astounding performance. I think I was reading his control percentage was about 90%, which is, I mean, that's high. and that was evident from the eye test, wasn't it? Because he was imperious, he was ruthless. Now, anything that was pitched up just got absolutely marmalized, like, down the ground. It was such a dominating performance, while the people around him either threw their wicket away, didn't look quite as composed or impressive. Jaiswal, he scored He scored pretty quickly. He took it to the, just punished people if they got it ever so slightly wrong with their lengths. And it was just really impressive and refreshing to watch. And his first 10 innings in Test cricket now, he's averaging well over 50. It's a really impressive start. And against sort of a variety of different teams as well. So it's things are looking pretty hot for Jaiswal. And I super, super impressed by how he played today. He's such a talent. maybe he's going to take over the title of the saviour from Shubman Gill.
Well, it looks that way, doesn't it? In Test cricket, anyway. I mean, I think just to...
I mean,
to
he's incredible Shubman in 2020 as well, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that is true. I mean, just to address Shubman Gill, I don't think he's suddenly bad.
No.
I think he's got a couple of things that he probably needs to work on in Test cricket, and his white ball game's pretty on point. There's like a conspiracy, isn't there, that the dengue fever has done him in.
Yeah.
If you look at his quite limited stats post dengue fever, they're not as good as his stats pre. It's probably just a little bit of random noise.
Yeah, a coincidence.
It would be Michael. We'll be my call on that one, and possibly also played some not so good teams earlier in his career. I mean, he smashed around a pretty crap Sri Lanka side,
yeah.
When he got that double ton, so yeah, there's that. Jaiswal though does look like the real deal. If you're talking about smashing around average bowling, there is an argument that despite.
Well, yeah.
Despite what happened in the last test, this might not be like a legendary England spin attack, but they are asked a few questions, and as we were saying, like the rest of the India lineup, 150 for 6. So it does stand head and shoulders above everyone else, and I think your the control percentage you point to, 90%, is what's most impressive about that. Obviously we talked about how Pope had a little bit of luck in his 196 in the last match. This was a kind of a great counterpoint innings to that, approaching Pope's score, but 15% better control over the shots he's playing. Shows that he's had a great day out. He offered a couple of like really, really half chances, but I think you'd have had to be like Superman to properly take those if you're Joe Root there. Otherwise, it's been relatively serene. Just a reference, like if you're thinking about like what good control is, I think the average century is something like has a control percentage of mid 80s, 85. So he's some way above that. And you don't see over an extended period of time many players hit 90%. Control, so it's a really good knock. And he has had a spell as well, I would say, where England have had bowled proper part-time bowling to him. So my whilst it might not be the world's best ever bowling attack, most of the bowlers are asking a question in some respects. Joe Root was maybe a little bit wayward, but
and most to be fair, the other he punished four, him, didn't he? You know, he made the most of it.
Yeah, most of the other four have brought something to the table. I mean, Ross and I were saying before the match that England's tactic is to kind of bowl by committee and see which one of the four average players might get the most out of the wicket.
Whose day is it today?
Well, I mean, we'll get onto that in part two. It was probably Bashir and Rayan Ahmed, and we can maybe talk about why that was in the second part. But you know, whilst they were in the game to some extent, to a greater or lesser extent against the other batters, I never really thought that Jaiswal looked too bothered. He's banged 5 sixes and 17 fours as well as part of that innings. So predictions that he could be the next Indian superstar look pretty well founded, Max, don't they?
Yes, they certainly do. And great time as well to find that, isn't it? When you sort of there's been a bit of a changing of the guard in the middle order, obviously Pujara, Rahane, those kinds of players dropping out the side. And who who is going to be the long shot. Obviously, Rohit Sharma's not going to be around for forever. He's actually knocked Shubman Gill down to three already, Jaiswal. So what a time to turn up and basically stick your flag in the ground and be like, it's me. I'm the Indian opening batter for the next 10 years, and I'm going to be formidable. Because it looks every bit like it, doesn't it?
Yep. Max, we're going to take a quick break, then we'll come back, talk a little bit about England's bowling, and that will probably be it for the cricket podcast today.
Forever.
That's it. We're retiring. just before we go away, please do hit like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and make sure you're following us wherever you've managed to find the podcast. It could be anywhere, couldn't it? I don't think it could be Google anymore, but it could be the moon. Yeah, don't follow. That doesn't really make sense. Spotify, Apple, follow it on all different platforms. Boost the numbers. We will be back in 10 seconds.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Cricket Podcast, where we're talking about the first day of the second test between India and England. We're going to move on to how England did now, having covered most of India, I think. Probably starts with the selection, Max. They switch it up. Jack Leach, we knew this when we did the preview, has a hematoma in his knee, or of his knee, around his knee. Nematoma. So he was ruled out. Straight swap for Shoaib Bashir for him. And then England also bring in Anderson, which means there are loads of really funny stats about how old Anderson is. I actually do think it's quite funny that he's playing in a team with two people who weren't even born when he made his debut. That's actually like a really good stat. When it was just Anderson's quite old, which we've had for like the last 6 years. I was getting tired of that. But now there's actually a generation of cricketers breaking into the England first team who were born after he started playing. It's basically fantastic. I'm there for that. And it's a great accomplishment as he moved just a little bit closer to Shane Warne, didn't he?
If I were James Anderson, I think people entering the dressing room who weren't born when I started playing cricket might be the point where I actually be like, I have to stop. This is ridiculous. You'll be like, you'll be coming in and saying, oh, do you remember this show? Do you remember this band? And they'll be like, who? Who's that? I don't know what you're talking about. Like it already happens at work now for me. Like you talk about, you know, things that happened in the noughties that I feel like everyone knows about. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's really depressing. That's just me going off on a tangent and feeling old. James Anderson, yeah, took a wicket. He was good, wasn't he? He kept things really tight. It was quite a contrast to what England wanted to get out of Mark Wood in the first test, which was just bowl really hard at people's heads. Put pressure on, take a wicket. Maybe try and get some reverse swing. He did all right, but it didn't work. Didn't take a wicket. James Anderson, crucially, you know, kept things much tighter. Bowled at an economy rate of half anyone else in the side. And I think that was kind of crucial to some of the wickets, especially at the start, you know, putting a bit of pressure on and inducing the mistake, giving Stokes the opportunity to attack, although he'd probably always attack because that's how it goes. But I was quite impressed with the old man. I didn't notice the difference in his run-up. I don't know if you did. I looks pretty much the same to me.
Yeah, it looks pretty much hair. Identical. Yeah, I didn't notice anything apart from, as you said, the hair, which feels like probably late stage Jimmy Anderson. Like maybe this is, I'm pretty sure when he came into the team,
he had frosted tips at the very start. Yes. Yeah, I was like, when I think of young Jimmy Anderson, I think of him in the England one day kit with the frosted tips.
So maybe that went away.
Yeah,
and now it's sort of fully frosted. Yeah. And maybe that's a sign that it is coming to an end. Other bowlers that happened in the game. We talked about Joe Root, a little bit expensive in this one. And I think you sort of see why, as much as people want him to be an all-rounder and as much as the ICC are ranking him as the fourth best all-rounder in the world, he's still a batter who bowls a bit. When the conditions aren't ideal for him, 14 overs is quite a lot of work to expect him to get through cheaply and threateningly. Mm. And he didn't, basically. But Hartley, Shoaib Bashir and Rehan Ahmed, I thought, at least in patches, were all actually relatively effective. I pick up 5 wickets between them. They do concede 230 runs, so it's not a roaring success. Yeah, but 5 for 230.
Nice pick up the top order. Debut 100.
Yeah, it was. So 28 overs, Tom Hartley. He ends up being the most used bowler, which I think is as much to do with Yashasvi Jaiswal occupying one end as it is to do with Ben Stokes thinking that Bashir is the bowler that should be bowling a third of the overs. But actually, he was all right, and he'll be happy, I think, with the wicket of Rohit Sharma, won't he, as a first test wicket. Yeah. And then returns later in the day, a little bit of a gift with Akshar Patel, but arguably, you could say he deserved at least a couple of wickets throughout the 93 overs.
I was impressed. I thought he did pretty well. I mean for a guy who's like come in, and you know there was obviously the visa hoo-ha and everything as well, which might have added a bit of pressure or you know unsettle you slightly. But you know. Just more widely, for a guy who's played, what's it, 6 county championship games, or, you know, it's not many, to then come in, see what happened to Tom Hartley in his first game as well, and then put in the performance he did. I thought he did a pretty good job. I thought he looked, fairly threatening. He extracted a bit. He was pretty consistent. I thought what was quite interesting, there were a few occasions where he did end up dropping a little bit short, but actually the Indian batters didn't ever seem to be able to punish that very much. Like when he did drop short, he tended to get away with it, which I thought was quite interesting. But you know, he got a bit of bounce and he varied his paces nicely as well. I thought there was a bit of variation. You know, he tossed a few up, kind of some flatter ones. I think he clearly knows what he's trying to do, and I was sort of heartened, I think, by the performance is probably what I'd say. It wasn't like, you know, a barnstormer, but it was also a first day pitch that was really nice for batting on. So he actually kept it reasonably tight, bowled quite nicely, and was pretty good. So I think all in all, really good effort from him. Quite an interesting run up, as you alluded to in the WhatsApp chat earlier. So it's a real shuffle into the crease, isn't it? It doesn't get a real jump into his gather. It's all a very very.
It's like a forwards moonwalk.
Yeah, exactly. It is a bit. quite odd. So I wonder if we'll see any sort of tweaks to that at any point, because it makes you feel like maybe you could get a little bit more, you know, action on it with a couple of changes to that. But you know, you don't want to go fiddling around with things too much, do you? If it works for you, then crack on. But yeah, I think overall did pretty well.
Yeah, I thought pretty good. The one thing I'd say is maybe a little bit of a concern is you bowl 28 overs to bowl no maidens. suggests that there's probably a little bit of slackness in there. Yeah. And I'm not saying that he'd have picked up heaps of wickets if he'd been a bit tighter. You know, maybe he would, but probably he wouldn't. We might say 15 runs. As you said, dropped a little bit short here and there. And I think there were a couple of loopy full tosses.
There was one full toss which got
lobbed into the mid. Yeah. I thought England had a plan in general, though, to bowl a little shorter than they had, at least in the first innings of the previous test. And I think they probably, from a spin bowling point of view, got that length right. I think if you on this particular wicket, I think erring slightly on the shorter length and getting the ball to hold up gave you a little bit more chance of a batter making a mistake. Whereas if you lobbed it up there, I think the pitch was basically a bit too good to get any purchase to get anyone out. And even if the batter didn't quite get to the pitch of the ball, I think because of that sort of lack of deviation, it was pretty easy to smear it away. And we saw Jaiswal do that all day, yeah, basically. Every time the ball was full, he slashed it away for four. So mainly England, I think, did reasonably well and showed that they're learning. I do think that it's, and England will get a lot of credit for today, and have received quite a lot of credit. And as we were saying in the first part, some people are saying this was England's day. I don't think it was, but I do think they deserve some of the credit that they're getting. I think relative to the experience and talent that they're bringing to the table, they could be a lot worse. Like the expectations on this team from my perspective were, and I think remain, quite low. And I don't think 336-6 is an unmitigated disaster, even if I do think it's big time advantage India. So I'm given credit, but I'm also saying, like, it would be better if they were Ashwin Jadeja and Akshar Patel.
Yes. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? You have to, it's all relative, isn't it? Everything is relative. And you've got to look at it relative to what England have turned up with in India. And it's a guy who's played two tests, two guys who've played no tests. And the two guys who played no tests are now England's frontline spinners. So you have to have a modicum of, you know, realism about what England are going to do. And the fact that they plugged away, they didn't let, you know, the fact that there wasn't a lot going on get to them, that they had plans, that they managed to get wickets, is all credit to them. You're right. But that doesn't change the fact that India are ahead.
Yeah. So we had a couple of questions in the chat, and I think we'll wrap up with these. A bit of Lions. A lot of Lions, in fact.
A lot of Lions.
Says, what do you think the match situation would currently be if England had won the toss and batted first?
That's a good question. 380 all out halfway through the third session. India 50 for none.
You think 420 runs in a day?
Yeah, I reckon England would have gone at like 4.5 and over.
Don't know. I mean, like, maybe. I think this is the sort of pitch where Root could bat quite well if he was in. He'd get out
reverse sweeping on 79.
Well, I mean, that could happen, or he could get a double century. I mean, like, I think this is a good batting pitch if you're a good player of spin. I wouldn't expect England to have outperformed what India have done, is what I would say. I think as good as this deck is, I think you've got to factor in how good India's bowlers are, and I think if England had got 300, that would have been still quite impressive. So yeah.
No Jadeja, Siraj replaced by Mukesh Kumar, you know.
Yeah, but
I'd be fancying England to do a bit of baseball on Mukesh.
Yeah, maybe, but he'd probably
end up with like five wickets, but go for 90.
No, I think two overs for 20 for Mukesh is probably what you see. Yeah. And then it would be Ashwin and Akshar and Kuldeep Yadav, who's actually a pretty good test bowler.
Oh, I forgot about Kuldeep Yadav.
Yeah, he's quite good. He would be playing a lot more if he was from any other nation in the world. So yeah. I don't know. I think England would have batted if they'd won the toss, but I don't think they'd have gone ballistic. Ricky wants to know whether we're going to ignore the tweet of me bowling.
I was out for the Nets last night.
Yeah, if you want to see a delivery that I bowled in the Nets, you can head over to our Twitter at the Cricket Pod and give me some tips. I've asked for them, so I am. You know, whenever you need to know something,
it's got to be better than the video of me bowling in the Nets from about 5 years ago that's on our Twitter somewhere.
It's better than that. No, it's not.
My foot.
It's just a slightly rolled leg spinner that's a little bit short. Like, there's nothing horrific about it. Like, it's obviously bowling. It's actually a no ball. It's a front foot no ball. But let's ignore that for a second. It's a perfectly legal delivery. Apart from the no ball. If you saw it, you wouldn't be like, that guy is completely incompetent, like your one, where you nearly hit your own foot. But I'm still open for tips. And I think that is pretty much it from questions. So we'll be back. I think we're actually going to do a show tomorrow. So join us then. It'll be me and Dan Weston.
Lovely.
At 11:30 UK time. So straight
my
after
kickoff,
play.
My kickoff just got moved to 12:15, so I'm definitely out.
There'll be no Max, but me and Dan will be there. I think it's actually set up to be a good day. As we wrap
up, really, you
know, I think the expected runs line for India is probably 400, mm-hmm. maybe a bit higher. If they get there, England will be in trouble. But it's by no means and completely off the table that England get a decent score. Like that could definitely happen, and it's by no means off the table that England roll the India tail for another 20 runs.
Mm.
Or 30 runs. Like, that'd probably be a bit extreme. I think I said 50 in part one. I think that's maybe a bit closer to realistic. But if that happened, we could be on for a really good test match. It's almost one of those ones that's must wake up at 4 a.m. viewing, but it's a Saturday, so that's a little bit dicey. anyway, Max, what do you think will happen? And then we'll end the show.
Yeah, I think 400 is where I'm putting out my stall for India. I think that's where they'll end up. And I think England, obviously, they've got to try and get as close to that as possible. I think they'll try and do that as quickly as they can, given, you know, situations we saw in the last test. They tried to score and move things along, but they didn't do it anywhere nearly like they have done in other games. So, you know, I don't think you'd be looking at England trying to go at much more than like four and over. But I still think that's what they'll try and do. So it could be really interesting. I think we'll probably end up with England being something like, I don't know, 280, 307 by the end of the day.
That'd be a good day's cricket, though. If you saw that, I think you'd get your money's worth.
Definitely.
Cool. Right, we're going to wrap up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We will join you. We'll see you. Join us. We will talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.